It is time for a look at we used to call This Week in the Lakeville Journal. And we're just going to say This Week in the Lakeville Journal and Millerton News. John Constant is with us. And Emily Edelman, anybody who knows the radio station knows Emily worked for a while at the radio station. And Em, I just told you off air, it's nice to have you back in the area and heading up the Millerton News.
Well, thank you, Marshall. It's really nice to be here.
All right, John, we're going to go back to you here, and we'll start off taking a look at some of the stories and we do say some of the stories because there's more stories than we have time to go over on, but some of the stories that are being featured in the Lakeville Journal. And on page one, the health needs assessment completed for Litchfield County and also adjacent Eastern Dutchess County.
Yes, this is a big story that is taking a look. So it's a community-wide survey really done by a committee that is headed up at Sharon Hospital, but it's a triennial review by Nuvance Health of what's needed, you know, in the community, both Litchfield County and Dutchess County. And this story looks at what really turns out to be identifying chronic disease, mental health, and substance abuse disorders as sort of the top issues in our geographic area. The demographics and input, you know, come from representatives, as I said, on both sides of the border. And it takes a look at what it is that Sharon Hospital, as our community source of healthcare, can do and line up to provide services. And the big focus will be preventing chronic diseases like diabetes, heart disease, Alzheimer's, lung disease, and other mental health and substance disorders, and looking all across, you know, the classes of healthcare. The study also examined sort of demographics and points up income levels and needs. So I would take I'd take a strong look at this story. It's very comprehensive.
You know, it's interesting because also on page one, something that we've been thinking about and known about for about a year and a half, and construction has finally begun, and that is the groundbreaking that is taking place in Canaan, North Canaan, for that healthcare facility to be built there, hopefully up and running by hopefully this winter.
Yes, I mean, that was the goal, is to by the end of the year to hopefully have this running. I've seen architectural renderings. We ran an image of it, I think, last summer. It's a two-story building across from Stop and Shop. It will do primary care and behavioral health. Some people will remember that the Community Health and Wellness Center was the agency behind those buses, those vans, really, that went around the mobile clinics last spring throughout the towns in the northwest corner, giving COVID shots and just basically having doctor visits. So some people think this is the future of healthcare.
Well, what's interesting about it, once it's built and it's in, and they're going to have one physician to begin with, and if it takes off, I'm sure they'll have more than one. And it's good because we've lost most of our independent healthcare practitioners in our area.
That's right. That's right.
All right. Speaking about losing, it's a story that we found, I found speaking with both the Weebatuck School District and with Region 1, and we've done interviews with All-Star Transportation. It is a really stunningly bad a shortage of bus drivers needed on a regular basis for everybody on both sides of the border.
It's been going on since really the pandemic. And I think what's happened is that even some of the retirees who lined up to do some of the driving would rather not be kind of exposed, if you will, in the community by driving a school bus. But this is a story that looks at the impact, especially on extracurricular activities like athletics. They've had to really juggle a lot of teams around. All-Star Transportation is really looking to hire, and they could use, you know, I think 5 or 6 drivers, up to 8 drivers maybe.
And it's not an easy thing because if you have to get certified, they're willing to pay all that. So so if they can get the drivers, it's not something that's going to build up immediately. It's going to take about a month and a half to 2 months. So, but, you know, it is such an important part of how you get around the school district, especially, as you said, with the after school activities, that it's a need that has to be filled. And we'll have to see if they can be successful in recruiting more people to take on that either as a part time job or a second job anyway.
Right.
Now, your next story that we'll talk about is bald eagles the Department of Environmental Protection talking about the rebounding of the eagles in Connecticut.
Yes, this is a story by Patrick Sullivan, who is really a nature writer. We all are familiar with his wonderful fishing columns, but this is a look at the rebounding bald eagle population in Connecticut. And it was really decimated by DDT, as we all remember. And the population were, in colonial times, you know, were fine. But by the 40s, 1940s, in steep decline. And in 1950s, there were none in the state of Connecticut. So right now, they estimate there are, you know, roughly 175 or so bald eagles in the state. And this story gives you a little bit of a hint on how you can spot them.
We're speaking, of course, with John Costa of the Lake Folk Journal, and we'll be joined by Emily Edelman from the Millerton News in just a few moments. It's interesting. In South County, Massachusetts, there's talk about, really early on talk about combining a couple school districts up there. And you come just back over the line here in Northwest Connecticut, and Norfolk and Colebrook are now looking at the possible consolidation and ideas for the elementary schools.
Yes, this was precipitated as an idea several years ago. About 8 years ago, this topic came up because of a declining population in the schools. At that time, Colebrook voted down merging with Norfolk, but now what Battelle School in Norfolk is looking at, they currently have 64 students, and they're looking at having only 56 next year, and they have already four combined classes, which means they're mixing grades together. So they're beginning to take a look at what their options are, whether it's tuition exchanges or an outright combination. It will take some time to figure this out, but it's striking to know that Norfolk's Battelle Elementary School at one time had 250 students.
Well, I talk like this. When I graduated Housatonic Valley Regional High School in 1971, we had between 600 and 700 students.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing. We now have less than half of that at the high school. It's pretty amazing the way this has happened. But once again, let's go on something that's always popping up its head in our area, and that is you've got an inside story on a community-wide zoning and planning event, which is going to happen for Lakeville.
Yes, this is the result of some preliminary work on studying how to design the larger space of the town. The zoning often does parcel by parcel reviews and work, but this is an attempt on March 18th. They really want to have an interactive brainstorming session at the Grove, bringing people in to give their ideas and provide input. There have been, you know, changes like the proposed Holly Block affordable housing plan, the old firehouse turned into a restaurant, and renewed concerns about parking and traffic safety. So this is an opportunity for everybody in town to come in and talk about the village's recreational, open space, parking, cultural resources, and give the planners input.
All right.
I think it's called a charrette, really.
Yeah. John Costin has joined us, and Emily Edelman is about set to come in. And we're going to switch over to the pages of the Millerton News right now. Emily, thanks for joining us. It's good to have you on board on the show from now on.
Great. Well, thanks, Marshall.
All right, let's talk about one of the first stories that, and we say once again, we're only picking a few of the stories. You'll find the full edition, of course, online at tricornernews.com and at pickup locations throughout our region. The town of Northeast is going to move its town hall to a new location on Route 22, Emily.
They are looking to relocate, yes. So the current town hall is in a building that is about 100 years old, two stories, narrow hallways and staircases. And if the new building will give a lot more space, it should have plenty of parking. It's much newer, also built in 1990, offers the town a lot more advantages if that should happen.
And that's on the heels of Millerton moving into better offices for themselves. I forget whether it was a year or two ago, but it was a while ago. It's much better to have a building that's easily accessible by not only people that visit there, but work there as well. Also, you've got a look in the Millerton News at this is something, once again, throughout our whole region, accessory dwelling units as a possible solution or one of the solutions that faces the housing crisis in our area.
Right. Affordable housing is it's a big deal everywhere. And our writer, Deborah Meyer, is looking at various ways that possibly that issue can be solved or at least helped. And accessory dwelling units are one way. And basically, it means it's an apartment on a current property, either, you know, maybe it's a basement or attic apartment, or it's a separate building of its own. And her article deals with a lot of sort of pros and cons, what it's like to be a renter, what it's like to have an accessory dwelling unit, what it's like to refurbish one. So she goes through a lot of the things that you might go through if you're looking at it.
And you've got an interesting article here. I during the theatrical season this summer, I was doing interviews with the folks at the Anchor Moncker House, and they were telling me about their plans. And you have now fully in print the renovation plans at the Anchor Opera House, which are going to take place.
Yeah, so they're looking at becoming the Anchor Center for the Arts, and they have purchased a neighboring building, they are going to renovate it to include some artist housing and a new community space so they can hold trainings and workshops. And basically, it's going to be much more accessible to the community.
All right. Now, John, we're going to bring you back in here for just a few moments because you're involved in these stories here. The proposed Pine Plains solar project.
Yes, this is a community solar project that's proposed for Pine Plains up on near Pulver's Corners. If anybody has driven over to Pine Plains from our area, you make a really sharp turn there right near Pulver's Corners. And there's a power station there. But over on that ridge, there's a New York company is interested in putting together a solar power project that would allow residents to tap in and get a little bit of a discount on their electric. But the problem is, it's 171 acres. It's a 43-acre solar farm itself, and there's some opposition building. So the residents there have been to a public hearing, and now they are organizing with some expert testimony to be submitted this coming Saturday. So we're just keeping our eye on that project. It's an issue for farmland, and solar companies are looking at farmland, as we all know, to put up their solar projects. So we're keeping an eye on this, and we'll see what happens on Saturday.
All right. One of my favorite portions of both the Lakeville Journal and Millerton News is the editorial sections, but also the letters to the editors and the columns. The letters to the editors show exactly how involved the residents are in the community. And we could talk a little bit about the editorial and the letters right now, John.
Sure. Well, in Millerton, we have a letter from Sam Buzel, who is the co-chairman of the Northeast Millerton Housing Work Group. And they held a Expo 23, which was an affordable housing demonstration project at the Northeast Millerton Library Annex a couple weekends ago. And quite a few people came, more than 90 people showed up to look and see. And there was a small house on wheels out there. So this is just another example of how many people in the community are really focused on this, and they are serious. And this is also really happening down in Armenia, where they're taking it very seriously. So we have a letter in here from Sam, who is just appreciating everybody who showed up.
All right. Now, what about any in the journal itself?
Yes. The journal has an editorial that really is back to page one, looking at how an appreciation really for the solution provided by the Torrington Community Health Group. What it boils down to is that what we're going to get in North Canaan is a federally qualified healthcare center. There are some down in southern Dutchess County, and the ones in Torrington and Winsted as well. But this is an editorial that just looks at whether or not this can be possibly a future solution. And it thanks the Community Health and Wellness Center, as well as Nancy Heaton over at the Foundation for Community Health, Maria Horn, who got involved, Ned Lamont helped with the funding. And I hope I haven't forgotten anybody, but it's just taking a look at that. We have, of course, our Turning Back the Pages, which is always fun to read. Lonnie Carter does a column on fathers and sons. The other thing that's new here is we have a wonderful column, brand new, by Roxanna Robinson from Cornwall, who writes about her desire to have a dog, and it's a poodle. And I highly recommend this. This will be a continuing series about her poodle. And then a column by Lisa Wright on caring for the caregivers. As we are an aging baby boomer population, who's going to take care of all of us as we get older? So it's a full deck, including a piece by Richard Kesson on the COVID-19 virus, its origin, and its power.
And of course, you've got Peter Steiner with his great cartoons, which need no explanation, to be quite honest with you.
They don't.
And what about Compass this week?
Well, Compass, we have a great interview of John Sayles, who is written a novel here. He's an Academy Award nominated screenwriter. And he was at one point about 20 years ago thinking about a screenplay that has now evolved into a novel. And so Alex interviews him. It's called Jamie McGillivray, The Renegade's Journey. And it's a nice long look at that. We also have a lovely story by Leela Hawken about the Cornwall Garden Club. They had their meeting about 2 weeks ago, and Bosco Shell of Falls Village gardens along with his wife, who is a noted horticulturalist and author, Paige Dickey. So he gives tips on having your plants inside and how to water them, how to prevent overwatering, how to feed them. So this is a Cornwall Garden Club was started in 2020 and is really being put together by Charlotte Van Doren, who is currently, also a resident there in Cornwall. But this is a nice story about indoor plants.
All right. Well, that is our first edition of This Week in the Lakeville Journal and Millerton News with John Constant and Emily Edelman. Of course, you can find these stories and much, much more in the Lakeville Journal and Millerton News, available at tricornernews.com and for pickup at locations throughout our area. Guys, we'll speak to you again next week.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Marshall.